You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Salmon Confidential is a new film on the government cover-up of what is killing BC's wild salmon. When biologist Alexandra Morton discovers BC's wild salmon are testing positive for dangerous European salmon viruses associated with salmon farming worldwide, a chain of events is set off by government to suppress the findings. Director Twyla Ruskovich has been traveling around the province showing the film. She joins me on the line this morning. Good morning, Twyla, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
The notion of salmon as a keystone species is central to your film. Can you explain the concept of keystone species?
Well, it's a species that a lot of other species depend on. So, you know, you have the salmon feed so many animals, hundreds of species in the ecosystem from the time that they hatch as little alevins, and they go out to sea, they're feeding all the birds, and then, you know, they're feeding the marine mammals, and they're feeding the, you know, large carnivores, the wolves and the bears, and they come back, and then they feed us as well. So it, without them, we would, you know, we'd be in a lot of trouble.
How long have salmon been declining in the Fraser River?
Pretty much since the, it's funny because the correlation is right when the salmon farms began having disease outbreaks on the migration route. So in the early 90s, you see a big drop in a lot of the stocks, coho, chinook, sockeye, they all start to decline, but the majority of them, of sort of overall picture. Salmon is a bit tricky because there's thousands of runs, and it's complicated. They go different places, so you have to kind of look at the overall trend. But, but when the farms started having their salmon leukemia outbreaks, that's exactly the time that you start to see the fall in a lot of these stocks.
And these salmon are dying before they spawn.
Yeah, well, they're dying of a bunch of things. And for years, this pre-spawn mortality in the Fraser River was something that was looked at in the Cohen inquiry, and it was a bit of a mystery. And if you look back at some of the DFO emails, a lot of the guys in the field couldn't figure it out because you have this really high pre-spawn mortality, which means the fish the fish that return to the river, a large percentage of those are dying after they return to the river as adults. So that's only a fraction of, you know, the run in the first place, and then you have like up to 90% of those fish dying before they reach the spawning grounds, which is, you know, it's an incredibly high number. It's not always that bad. Some years it's 60, 70, 80, you know, 90%. Last year was incredibly high. I couldn't believe it. Being out in the river, we could hardly find a fish that had spawned. There were carcasses everywhere, but they were all still full of eggs and sperm that hadn't yet ripened. So biologists were trying to figure this out for years, but there were so many different symptoms that the fish were dying of. They seemed to be dying of all sorts of things. And through the Cohen Commission, one of the testimonies of Dr. Christy Miller revealed that she could identify which fish were going to die based on a viral signature that she found in their cells. And that viral signature is related to a virus she's calling parvovirus, which has all the same symptoms of the salmon leukemia virus that raged through the salmon farming industry back in the 90s. It was in all the farms back in the 90s. So there's a really strong correlation there. But the thing is, it was hard to identify because the salmon leukemia virus would just weaken the immune system. So the fish would die of something else. It wouldn't die of leukemia. It would die of bacterial or, you know, fungal or a viral infection. So it was confusing to people because, you know, they're all dying, but they were all dying of a whole bunch of things.
This Dr. Miller, she's a head of molecular genetics for Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and she began, am I right, her research in 2006 and came up with the finding you've just described.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what date she started her research in, but yeah, in the film, you know, we do show a bit of her testimony regarding the parvovirus. There's a few different names. It's parvovirus, marine anemia, salmon leukemia, They're all, it all sounds, it all seems to be the same thing. The thing is with the disease that looks identical to the parvovirus that Miller has now identified, all the symptoms are exactly the same. In fact, she was calling it leukemia when she first discovered it. And DFO had published 6 papers on the SAM leukemia virus that was, you know, in all the farms back in the early 90s, and may have been there throughout the whole, you know, last few decades. Where the research is still new, it's still unfolding, but it raises a lot of questions, you know, because we know they had all of, you know, we know there was this huge disease epidemic in the early 90s that, you know, was in all of the farms. But it looks like it's still here. That same, you know, ocular tumors and, you know, all the symptoms of the leukemia virus, you know, are still here. So it makes you wonder, like, how, I mean, has this, are they incubating it? You know, how long, I mean, where is it holding over, this virus that's been here for, you know, for 20 years? But that's just one of the viruses. In the film, we go into, you know, the European viruses as well. So there's a lot of different viruses.
That one of the viruses is called ISA.
Yeah.
That's deadly. Tell us a bit about that one.
Yeah, well, that's the one that shuts borders. So that's the one that the Canadian government is trying to deny is here. And, yeah, it's quite astonishing. Like, when I set out to do this film, I really didn't know. I mean, I knew that we were doing something on SAM and disease, but I had no idea sort of the far-reaching implications of this topic and where it would lead. But it's been a really interesting journey, and I just keep, you know, I wanted to do more updates because it's this whole story is unfolding. But ISA is this, it's like the mad cow disease of salmon disease. It's the type of disease that, you know, when you get it, you're supposed to destroy your fish immediately. No country will allow it to come into their to come across the border. So it's a disease that closes borders to the export of, you know, so if they admitted to having ISA in the farm salmon here in BC, they wouldn't be able to ship their products across the border. So there's been multiple tests. The film chronicles the first test by Dr. Rick Routledge from SFU. He couldn't figure out why the river's inlet sockeye were in such a terrible decline. It was less than 1%, I think, of its historical run. It was really bad. So he decided to test for ISA. He got 2 positive samples. And these were in some old samples. You know, these were ones that had been stored in his freezer, so they hadn't really been stored all that well. But he still, out of 40, he found, it was 2 out of 48, I think, had a positive ISA hit. And so when Alex Morton heard this, she went out and she grabbed 11 salmon out of the Fraser River, and she got 3 positive ISA test results, European strain ISA virus. So they went public. They tried, you know, they held a press release to try to get the scientific community to engage on the issue. And that's when, you know, the CFIA came in and the government came out and did not, you know, took the samples and said, oh, there's no ISA here and there's no ISA in British Columbia. And since then, there have, that's been their line, that unless they can verify it in their reference lab in Moncton, then it doesn't count. But meanwhile, there's all these other labs that are finding it. Christy Miller found it. Dr. Fred Kabenji found it, and he's the world reference lab for the ISA virus, the OIE reference lab for the ISA virus. And then Dr. Nylan in Norway, who is an ISA expert, also has been finding European strain virus positive samples, positive test results for ISA virus. So you've got all these labs, and we've got all these positive test results, but the government is just, you know, thinking they can get away with not, you know, with saying it's not here because their lab can't find it. But their lab, it turns out, in the Cohen inquiry, is looking at the wrong segments. So all the labs that can't find it, which are government labs that are tied to industry, they're all looking at segment 2 and using a different protocol than the labs that are finding it. They're looking at segment 7 and 8.
So one of the parts of the film, Alexander Morton, who you've mentioned, and had found some ISA-infected fish in the open water, she goes to the supermarket and buys some farmed fish to test, because the owners of the farm fish won't allow her to test them on the farm. So what does she find from a supermarket?
Well, she got a number of ISA-positive samples hits in the supermarket. Now, the thing is, though, the exact number is hard to tell, because when the earlier days when she was testing, you know, she was able to get her positive test results back. But now this issue has gotten so heated. She sampled a total of 1,400 samples, but the thing about about ISA positive samples is, so she sends them to the OIE reference lab in Prince Edward Island, Dr. Fred Kabenji's lab. And if he gets a positive sample, she doesn't get those results back. First, they have to go to the CFIA. Now, the CFIA doesn't want to admit that ISA is here. And so they're supposed to test. So, you know, okay, so Kabenji gets a positive test result. Well, you're supposed to... CFIA now is supposed to confirm that result before it can be released. But they are not releasing those test results. They are not testing them. They're saying, oh, well, because Alex doesn't have chain of custody, they're not going to do anything. And they actually went and put them in ethanol, which destroys the virus, or it prevents the virus from being cultured and therefore confirmed. So they won't go do their own testing. They're saying they're destroying the possibility of culturing the virus in our positive, or in Alex's positive ISA samples. But, you know, before this, she was getting some positives. She got a bunch of positives in the grocery stores. She also got positives for piscine reovirus, which is the virus that's linked to heart and skeletal muscle inflammation that causes fish to have mushy hearts. So there's a number of, viruses in the grocery stores.
It sounds a bit like a detective story more than a science research.
It's both. It's very much both. We're calling it a biopolitical documentary, because it's very heavy on the science and the biology of viruses and salmon, but then you've also got all this, crazy political stuff going on as well, and the government trying to cover this up. I mean, it's really quite... I mean, who do you go to when, when your government is trying to hide a reportable disease? I mean, you can't go to your government. I mean, we're trying to go to international media because, we got somebody's got to look into this. This is these ISA-infected fish are going across the border. They're shipping ISA-infected fish, which is a reportable disease, across the border. And,
which is a criminal offense, right?
I know. It's got to be some kind of offense. It's definitely illegal.
Has there been any attempts to directly discredit your film or suppress it or muzzle it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they... somehow they snagged the domain before the film was even released. Industry managed to snag the domain name, so the film is Salmon Confidential. Our website is salmonconfidential.ca, but they managed to get salmonconfidential.com, and are printing all sorts of slander about us, that it's just lies, and we're making it all up. But the funny thing is, so they go on all the forums, they, try to, confuse the issue and say, we're wrong, and we're making, we're fabricating things and whatever. But we invited them to a debate in Campbell River, where all the industry PR guys are. There's four full-time, communication guys between all of the companies and the BC Salmon Farmers Association. So we were in Campbell River, and we were expecting them to, show up and, all right, if you have problems with what we're saying, come and let's debate this. And nobody, not a single farmer or from the industry showed up. So I don't know. They won't talk to us directly, but they'll go to media and try to, you know, smear the story and steer it left or right. And, you know, it's a complicated issue. So, you know, it's hard for people to know, you know, when they hear, you know, the salmon farming communications, public relations guys. I mean, this is what they do, right? This is what they're hired to do, is protect the image of industry. So we try to provide all the references and science papers and links on the site, salmonconfidential.ca. But you also see in the film, you see the bureaucrats lying. You see the scientists, the internationally recognized scientists saying, yes, we found positive ISA test results under oath at the Cohen Commission. That stuff's not fabricated. There's no way to fabricate that. That's in the transcripts from the Cohen Commission. It's on camera. So it's real. I mean,
I want to see your film. How can I do that?
Salmonconfidential.ca. You can watch the film for free online there at salmonconfidential.ca.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. It's actually an entertaining film as well. We just started putting the story together, and, you know, it ends up being a real kind of edge-of-your-seat biopolitical thriller. Truth is stranger than fiction in this case. I mean, you can't make up these characters.
Well, thanks a lot for speaking with us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks a lot. And, yeah, we are encouraging people to get any sort of movement on this issue. Talk to your MLA. We're trying to get these salmon farms off the wild salmon migration routes in order to protect the wild salmon economy. So we're really encouraging people to make their voices heard to their MLA candidates about this issue. And you can find that information on the website as well. But it seems like the only time government responds is or makes any sort of promises regarding this is during election time. So we're trying to bring wild salmon into the election arena because it's a very, very valuable economic and food resource, you know, to this province. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye.
I've been speaking with Tyler Roskovich. She's director of Salmon Confidential. You can see the film, as she said, on the internet at salmonconfidential.ca, and the website lists all the showings of the film in British Columbia. It also has lots of suggestions for further action, and as Tyler was urging people to take action to protect BC's wild salmon.
This podcast was produced by the Red Eye Collective in Vancouver, BC. If you live in the Vancouver area and are interested in creating alternative radio with us, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us at redeye@cooperadio.org.